Hi, everybody, and welcome to this Leonard Lopate Show special event. We're all excited that Elvis and the fabulous musicians he's brought with him tonight have agreed to do this. So let's bring them out now. Stuart Duncan on violin, Jerry Douglas on dobro and lap steel, Mike Compton on mandolin, Pete Thompson is on drums, on guitar and vocals, Jim Lauderdale, Jeff Taylor on accordion, Dennis Crouch on the double bass, and Elvis Costello on vocals and guitar. Elvis?
How you doing?
Very, very good evening to all the people driving by. We should, for those in radio land and web land and all of that sort of stuff, look, there's some people there on the bus waving as they go by. Let them out. People come up with an ice pick to break us out when the air gets too small. Yeah. Are we in the right key here?
And beat-hearted ones with them that says they will. The last of proud perfect sons who least of the swill. Swings and the swan girls in polka dots and pearls. Hearts as hard as punishment, eyes as dim as candles. It's a question of the voice to which you will attend. One is there to flatter you, a rose to defend. Think about a need to be a baby to confess. The wearing of the four orange dress. Woo! now it's used from everything and lies so long and lag. Money can't buy anything, there's nothing in the bag. Put away your grandma as you sit and you lace. I'll hide all of your mother's skirts, never show your face. It's a question of the parts that you decide to use. The one that's there to comfort you will always do seduce. You got nothing left to lose and no one to impress. You never look so fine as in that old orange dress.
You're listening to a Leonard Lopez Show special with Elvis Costello that was recorded on November 1st in WNYC's Jerome L. Green Space. Coming up after the break, we'll hear more live performances of songs from his new album, National Ransom. This is WNYC and WNYC.org.
We'll have some more music in just a little bit, but you mentioned an EP. That's a 45, right?
33 and a third.
But, you know, some people even will argue that direct-to-disc is the best sound quality. You haven't
direct
gone that
to,
far.
Direct-to-everything. Direct-to-ears is the best of all.
And live performance is the best of all.
Absolutely it is, and that's we make the records as a starting point. And as you heard, Jim and I wrote a couple of songs that we played in this first set while we were on the road. These guys and I, well, the Sugar Canes, and I went out on the road after the release of Secret Profane and Sugar Cane, and we had a ball playing in front of people when we played different sorts of songs, and instead of it being like what people kept saying it was, a bluegrass band, I mean, if I could play bluegrass, I'd be a much better guitar player. I can't sing like any of those people, but I can hear the beauty of the sounds of these instruments, and we incorporated them into the songs on that record, and then by the end of the tour, we had a bunch more songs that needed a combination of sounds that you hear on the album, and some of it here on the stage, including the drums and the... And maybe I'll even play some electric guitar for you in a little while.
Well, you have enough guitars over there.
Yeah, we have
National Ransom gets its official release tomorrow. This is your third record in 3 years. Are you going through a particularly creative period right now?
I'm trying to make as many records as possible before the lights go out all the record companies. And all the record shops shut down. And all the record shops shut down because they more or less have gone now. And I don't know about you. I like the thing of going in and discovering things by chance. The interweb allows you to do that too, and it's not the same as holding something physical like a big plank of wood or something in your hands.
But I get the feeling that you missed the good old. Are you reading my questions?
Yeah. I can't actually.
Wait a minute. You know, you had two seasons of an interview show. Would you have allowed a guest to do that on your show?
Actually, some of them insisted on it.
Really? They wanted to see the questions in advance?
Yeah, but we didn't give them to them. I'm long-sighted. It's okay.
You were talking about wanting to play bluegrass. You have been
called... No, I didn't say I wanted to. That's what people say I do.
Oh. Like, but you have been called eclectic, and I don't... And
Electric, I think it is.
Electric, really, eclectic.
It's people who are dyslexic that say that.
Well, but you really have tried your hand at everything, and I suspect that's because...
Glove puppetry.
Was that it?
That's my next move.
Start off kind of like...
Try my hand at everything. Sorry, I'm feeding you now.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to do a straight interview. I didn't realize we were doing...
Abbott and Costello. I agree with you.
It's Lopate and Costello, not Abbott and Costello.
Yeah, that's true. But whoa! Now you see that. Whoa-hoy! And tonight, the debut of the comedy
show. So who's on bass?
We could be here for hours. No, you're quite right. I mean, I've had a ball with this adventures, and we wouldn't be here right now if I hadn't had some of the adventures I had the last 10, 15 years. In fact, how about the last 33 years? It's all been... When people say, oh, it's about collaborations, all music's collaboration. I've been playing with that guy there on the drums, Pete Thomas, since we were children. And who should have known better. And
but you've also done records with Paul McCartney, Burt Bacharach, Lucinda Williams, George Jones, Tony Bennett, Bill Frisell, the Brodsky Quartet, and Sophie Van Otter, even Stephen Colbert.
It's a particularly good album with him.
Well, you must have been a relief after John Stewart. Mark Ribot, Vince Gill, Buddy Miller, and Leon Russell are on this record. You are still reading.
I'm just looking at the list because you're having to remind me of who I know. No, I mean, it's true. I mean, if you tell me that I was going to work with any of those people that I already knew the name of, particularly the famous songwriters that you mentioned, I would have said you were, you know, you must be on drugs or something. But
when you started, you felt that way.
Of course, because I didn't even think I'd ever meet any of those people, much less write songs with them. So doing that, and it just came along very, you know, naturally. It wasn't like something you can't have an ambition to write with those people. And some of the things were really strange chance encounters, like getting an invitation to go. I'd written a song in 1977 that was country styled, sitting in my, you know, bedroom in Hounslow, and next thing I know, I'm in Nashville 3 years later recording it with George Jones. I mean, that was the sort of dream I had when I wrote it, but that was complete fluke. But flukes sometimes lead the way to other more determined work, you know?
Your wife, Diane Krall, is a jazz pianist, or is at least started in the jazz genre.
She
I know you make fun of the word genre.
No, I'm not going to make fun of genre. I'm going to make fun of started in the jazz. She's absolutely a jazz pianist.
Well, so have you collaborated?
Yes, we have. She wrote some songs a few years ago, and that was something that she needed to do when, you know, singing "Deed I Do" didn't sort of fit what she felt. And at different times in your life, you'll turn to different styles of performance and even interpretive singers. And there aren't many better interpretive singers around. Obviously, I love her, and I'd say this, but there aren't many better interpretive singers alive today. So to turn your hand to writing only comes when there's no other way to express yourself. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I move to other types of music. In fact, when I first went to Nashville, I sang other people's songs because right at that time, the way I felt I just wasn't making it with the songs I was writing. It didn't cover what I felt. And the simpler songs that I love by other people that just happened mostly to be country songs suited the blue mood I was in. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's why I sang them.
But now, one of the critics has called you a pop crooner. Do you like that?
A what?
A pop crooner.
A pop crooner?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about... I can croon a little bit, but I can't croon like Rudy Valli.
No, thank God. Yeah. We don't have megaphones here.
I have one, actually.
Yeah,
I didn't bring it with me. Rudy Valli was a really good singer, and he was also a really good comedian. Mm. He was a really good comic actor.
Yes, he was.
And as most people know, then back in the days when... the two things were linked. I mean, Bing Crosby was the most famous, the one who invented the confidential style of singing that I don't subscribe to that much, as you can hear. The confidential style, sometimes I can on a record, but he was like the biggest movie actor as well as the biggest singer. So that was a different time then. You know, now we've got all different ways. We have to learn other skills like juggling.
Well, you also, you have some political commentary here. Ignorance and greed are themes on the title track. Is that your response to the current economic mess?
I think we're all a bit bewildered. I mean, I don't have any special answers. I mean, I think part of the problem is that we've handed over the responsibility to a bunch of people who clearly either they're liars or they're not competent. But we did entrust them with it, and we're involved in all the transactions. And every one of us wants a little bit more than we can really afford. And I think if you got to the stage where, in medieval times, if you'd gone around telling people that a negative value could be traded as currency, they would have burned you as a witch. And they would have been right. You know? That we live in a society where now and again it suits us, or we are pushed to the needs of desperation and paranoia to menace people with dogs and strip them naked. And I can think of some people that would be good for, but they're mostly used to work on Wall Street. You know, let's stick them in cages and poke them with sticks. You know, like...
You recently played at the White House for the president and his wife, and before that you interviewed President Clinton.
Interviewed him?
Well, didn't you?
Oh, yes, sorry. President Clinton. I get my presidents mixed up. Sorry.
That president.
Actually, no, that was a really... It was a splendid occasion, the meeting President Obama. Mm-hmm. He was, you know, very, very welcoming. He did have to put one over on me and say, you know, your wife was here last year for this event, you know. So, he was very welcoming. And it was on the occasion of them giving the Gershwin Prize for songwriting to Paul McCartney. Of course, it was given to Paul Simon and then to Stevie Wonder, as it rightly should have been. And this year it was Paul, and a bunch of us went to sing there. In fact, you see that guitar over there? I left it there. I walked out. It was a little head spinning because the room is about as deep as this is, but without the taxis going by in the background. And I walked, you know, off the stage, and we all did good. You know, it was a little nerve wracking. And I walked out and got halfway down the path and realized I left my guitar in the White House. They gave it back. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think that the previous incumbents would have necessarily given it back. You know?
Would have been on eBay.
What are you going to be doing for us now?
I'm going to sing a song. This is sort of a sad, sorrowful song, because you can tell I'm in such a sad, sorrowful mood. this is a song, sort of a dream about a man. Some of the things we were talking about. It's called One Bell Ringing.
And I'll get off the stage, and I'll come back later.
Slapping on the window pane, an hour too teeming. Storm punching like a hurricane that tore him out of dreaming. Wind slamming through the slightest gap, rattling between the frame and the sill. Drapes hanging from the final act. When I had you still, one lonely bird, down on the coast now, one bell ringing. Flies buzzing round the strip searchlight. They got him down on his knees. He dreams of honey dripping from a spoon, girls whispering in Portuguese. Between the muzzle and the black sight, electrical contact. Deny your name, then carry the blame somewhere after the fact. One lonely bird is singing Lord on his last lament. Dash him down on the coast, man. One bell.
which is one in which we're going to invite Mr. Mike Compton to the who plays the mandolin normally up to the microphone to vocalize, and we're going to feature the mandolin stylings of Mr. Jerry Douglas. This is a rock and roll song we'd like to do for you. It's rock and roll as we imagine it to be in 1921.
The snitch, the snoop, the tattletale, led a threadbare up the stairs. Adieu, my little ballyhoo, you broke my heart in two, and now I haunt the bars and sent those tried affairs. She went home to gather her calm and got him unawares. There was a man enjoying the lay of the land. He took a walk in the dark with a dish from the stand. Girls in the creations, tied in the brightest grenadine. But I trade all that I sin for a slow drag with Josephine. Josephine, Josephine. Cause I trade all that I sin for a slow drag with Josephine. Gavats, garage, contillions in slow Arabesque. Drum rolls and farandals are all made in jest. When you make that move, I can't resist. When will you declare your armistice? Josephine, Josephine. Is that trade I bet I seen for a slow drag with Josephine? In another time and place, a different fate was cast. He tried to skittle-daddle-doo. She might have slapped him just for saying, grab me one more chance before you pass. Or curse the nurse who named me the first, or bury me at last. And in three-quarter time, the true and the false dance in the hesitation. Walls, then comes the flirtation and temptation. Hip, hip, hooray. Listen to what I say, then you can take it away. Three-quarter time, the true and the false, dancing the hesitation, waltz, and comes the flirtation, and temptation, hip, hip, hooray. Listen to what I say, then you can take it away. Josephine, Josephine, cause that trade off that put away all my codeine. Yeah, trade out that I seen for a slow drag with Josephine.
Here's a song about an Englishman traveling around the music theatres of the north of England. He's got a battered suitcase to his name containing a stolen suit of clothes and a lariat that he uses in the late evening as part of the midnight show. He's singing another man's songs and taking on another man's identity. And he's chosen just the wrong moment to go into cowboy music. If there was ever a right moment to go into cowboy music. Third class ticket in his pocket, punching out the shadows underneath the socket. Tweed coat turned up against the fog. Slow coaches rolling all the more between the very memory and approaches of all. Stale bread curling on a luncheon gown, loose change, lonely, not the right amount. Forgot man of an indifferent nation, waiting on a platform at a Lancashire station. Somebody's calling you again. The sky has fallen, Jim is standing in the rain. Nobody wants to buy the counterfeited prairie lullaby in a colliery town. The hip flask and fumble skein of some stage star Josephine is all he'll get now. Eyes going in and out of focus, mild and bitter, from tuberculosis, forgotten man. Indifferent nation, waiting on a platform at a Lancashire station. Somebody's calling you again. It's finally dawning, Jim is standing in the rain. Her soft breath was gentle on his neck. If he could choose the time to die, then he would come and go like this. Underneath the vineyard sky, she woke up and called him Charlie by mistake, and then a chain began. Standing in the rain. Brilliant team listening. Your soft plaintive whistling. And your one wondering smile. Died down at the hippodrome, now you're walking off to jeers. The lonely sound of jingling spurs, the toodaloos and all my dears. Down at the hangar, fire bought a villiers, a plot sobriety. There's no place for an Afghan cowboy in polite society. Forgotten man. Waiting on a platform at a Lancashire station. Somebody's calling you again. It's finally dawning, Jim is standing in the rain. Somebody's calling you again. It's finally dawning, Jim is standing in the rain. Jim is standing in the rain. All
three of those are from the new album, CD, whatever. And
Double LP.
Double LP.
And also 78 RPM.
Yeah, we put out that song. I thought that song sounded like it should be on a 78.
Yeah.
And we just made some for fun. It was kind of difficult to do it, actually. They don't make a lot of them these days. And
Still plants making them?
There's a plant down in Nashville that made them for us. But originally, we got some a private detective sort of friend of ours to try and seek out. And we found a man who was mixing chemicals in his garage. I think that's what he was doing. He said he was making 78 records. Heaven knows what he was doing in there. But he said you could make them, but you can't get the insects anymore. because it's true, because shellac is made of beetles. You just can't get the beetles anymore.
They broke up.
Yeah.
Yoko.
Now you're getting in a comedy thing now.
You're listening to a Leonard Lopate Show special with Elvis Costello that was recorded on the first day of November in WNYC's Jerome L. Green space. There's more of my conversation with Elvis Costello and more live performances of songs from his new album, National Ransom, after a break. This is WNYC and WNYC.org. This is your fourth album with T-Bone Burnett, and he's really been a strong advocate of roots music. He had a surprise hit with the soundtrack from Oh Brother, Where Art Thou.
I think the only surprise was that
for
people that didn't hear that music before, didn't know it, Everybody knew how great it was before that knew it. It was putting it in that context. And I think if you have a picture of anybody, a recording of almost anybody's voice, and you have George Clooney sort of miming it, you've got a head start.
Stanley doesn't hurt either.
And Ralph Stanley doesn't hurt at all. No. It's a terrific thing that he did, because a lot of people, I'm sure, encountered Ralph Stanley and the Fairfield Four and all the other great artists on that recording, and it started a whole thing going. It's true. T-Bone and I have been friends for 25 years or more now, and we made King of America together. He really helped me kind of, you know, find a way to do a record that was different than the ones I'd been making with the Attractions, which were. We had kind of run to the end of our line temporarily, and we made that Spike album together where we traveled all over the place to play with Alan Toussaint and a great bands of Irish musicians, and it was an amazing thing. I don't think anybody would let you do a record of that scope now, frankly. I mean, by the way, he's also like an avant-garde producer in many ways as well, even because he is, while everybody else is trying to put themselves between the singer and the audience, he's found a way to become invisible in that process and just put everybody at ease. And with Mike Piersante getting such an amazing sound, we can hear ourselves. We stand in a room smaller than the one we're in now, and we're facing one another. We can see each other for the cues. And really, a lot of the records that I'm sure you love were made by people who took the chance to play and perform in the studio. They didn't go back and fix it afterwards.
And not only that, they didn't put baffles in front of them and put the drummer in a separate room. All of the
If there was a mistake, it was a good mistake, or they did it again, and that's what we do, you know. And we do it. And
now they punch in screams and everything. If you want to do do it separately.
Particularly if you do it like that,
they're gonna poke
you with a sharp stick. They'll say,
"Do it again."
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, your father was thinking about Bob Dylan admitted in his autobiography that in the last few decades he's been going back to the music that had inspired him from the start. You seem to be doing that to some degree as well. Or
I think all the music is all there for us. That's the great thing about that. You know, we're 100 years into recorded sound and the availability of so many things, because we're also connected in all these various ways. You could have knowledge of everything if you're curious. And I grew up in a house full of music, and so did my wife. And we actually have a lot of the same taste in music, even though obviously we play radically different approaches to our instruments. So, I mean, I can't even call what I do playing an instrument next to her, you know. But no, I'm not. I don't mean that seriously. But I'm a writer that holds a guitar, and
string arrangements. You do also.
I can do that. I can hear it, but I can't play other people's music off the page. So you know, I couldn't get a job at the Philharmonic. You know, it's like.
Well, next time they're looking for a rock guitarist, maybe...
I think it wouldn't look for me, I can tell you that.
Well, we have all these other guys.
Yeah,
we got
it covered here.
Now, your father was a band leader, wasn't he?
He was a bebop trumpet player from Birkenhead, which it's not famous as a hotbed for bebop. And he made it south to London, you know, to try and make his way in the music that he loved, which was that which he heard of Dizzy Gillespie and then later Clifford Brown, probably his favorite trumpet player. And, you know, like a lot of jazz musicians found, there was literally no money in it. And and then he had a son, which was me. And he had another talent to sing. And he sang with a commercial dance band for the next 20 years. And then as a in working men's clubs and really traveled a lot inside of England. And I learned a lot from the, you know, the tenacity of what he did. And he played and he put food on the table. You know, that's a working man's job. Was it always as inspired as he might have wished when he started out? Perhaps not, but he found a way to make it really, like, beautiful. And, you know, I learned he's a much better singer than I am. Well, still to this day, he's 83 and he's a better singer than me.
Well, England was really hard for jazz musicians to make it. There were a few great ones, Tubby Hayes and Dizzy Reese.
Yeah. Well, he knew those people, when he started out. And a lot of his contemporaries, you know, they stuck with it and through very hard times, but... He had this other talent and was and as a consequence, I have to thank him because as my mother sold records and at a time when you had to have a knowledge of the catalog, couldn't rely on a computer to look it up, she imparted some of that sort of information about all sorts of music that I never would have really encountered. And my father took me to radio broadcasts and I got to see groups close up and realized that there was really nothing so exceptional. I remember seeing the Hollies come into a rehearsal at about 8 in the morning and they were carrying their own equipment and there was a guy in the group, Tony Hicks, who was probably only 5 or 6 years older than me and he had a hole in his sweater and I thought, wow, he's in a pop group and he has a hole in his sweater just like me, maybe I can do that. And it's funny things like that that get you started with the thought, not necessarily what was on the records, but that little lack of thread on his elbow probably got me further along with the idea I should do this.
Well, you recorded this double LP in 11 days in Nashville. I don't know if that's considered fast or slow, but
I don't think it's considered fast in Nashville. I mean, they cut a lot of records in Nashville very quickly.
One take. You're going to do some more songs.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I'm just telling you, it's great. And thank you all for coming. Thank you.
You cast, well, it seems to be wearing out fast.
Spell that you cast,
come back, baby, cause I don't think that I can last.
Spell that you cast,
and I wonder whether you got some other kind of lover that you like to please better.
Spell that you cast. The spell that you cast.
The spell that you woven, well, it seems to be coming undone.
The spell that you cast.
Come back, baby, or you tell me where you were going.
The spell that you cast.
And you know quite well that I'm not a jealous kind of fella, but they look in your eyes and they're all.
Care.
Now, you're going to play some more songs, but there are a few people I have to thank. I want to thank them now. Rebecca Shapiro and Elizabeth Lutz from Shorefire, your group. My producers, Blake Neeshick, Stephen Valentino, Julia Corcoran. Melissa Egan is the executive producer, and our thanks to Todd McGovern. Yeah, you can read that.
Yeah.
And the wonderful staff of the Jerome L. Green Space here. Do you want to read it?
I thought it was Jerome K. Jerome.
Indira Etwaro.
Indira Etwaro, yeah.
Gil Schuster.
Nikki Johnson. Ricardo Fernandez, Bill Porter. David McLean. Larry Yates. Noah Yuan Vogel.
You didn't know there were so many names, did you?
George Wellington. With my eyesight, I could have said George Washington. Gaines Legar. And Bill Moss, yeah.
And Ed Haber was at the audio controls.
And Ed Haber at the controls. But it's been great to...
Well, you're going to do some more songs,
right? Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, I'm just telling you it's great. And thank you all for coming. Thank you. Here's a song. It's an age-old story. It's about a woman who comes to a man for solace. And... when he looks into her eyes, he sees, you know, just desire. It's not really there, but he sees it anyway. I have a friend, she's just a friend. I told her what you might call advice, but nothing like that comes without a price. The rumor was a cool surprise, and she dissolved before my eyes. I offered my hand and there's a man twice. I thought about
Let's
thank you so much for your fine welcome to these new songs. It's our first time playing them all at speed. You know, when you make a record, you get to go and eat some pulled pork between takes. That was one for the band.
Thank you, Jeff.
Running pell mell in Arab scare room, running as hard as they do all day. Pick out your tongue and drink down all of it. The petrol cut that I've never seen since.
Costello, Jerry Douglas, Stuart Duncan, Mike Compton, Pete Thomas, Jim Lauderdale, Jeff Taylor, Dennis Crouch,